vibration from around the nation. It's the 411. We're sharing a cave. What a way to make your day. Sharing K is on the way. It's the 411. We're sharing K. It's about newsmakers, movers and shakers. Inspiration from around the nation. It's the 411. We're sharing K. What a way to make your day. Sharing K is on the way.
This is Jeffrey Osborne, and my favorite talk show host is the talented and truly awesome Sharon Kay.
Now, Jeffrey, you already know. You already know, honey. I mean, I'm Jeffrey Osborne. I'm just saying. Anyway, hello, Nashville. All of our lovely and most wonderful people in the city. And, of course, you know, listening online at WFSKFM.org, or you might be listening on like the Bluetooth or something. As long as you're listening, see, that's the bottom line. It's not one of those things that I don't want you to do. I want you to do it. Okay. Ooh, the day before Election Day. Yesterday was the first day of school and virtual, and it's a lot going on, and everybody's like, la, 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 la. So, I'm exhaling you. Come on, y'all. All right. Okay. All right. For me. Because I just had to do it myself, see. I know when I need to exhale and take a minute, a second. We're going to have a quick forecast, squeeze that in for you today. Our news straight and directly from the community. And just a lot. And Dr. Battle will be with us later. And more news from the community. And then at 5:20, probably 20 somewhere there, past guest, Howard J. Ross, and I thoroughly enjoyed him about a year ago, and he has done some updating of his very popular book, Everyday Bias, Identifying and Navigating Unconscious Judgments for Our Daily Lives. So that's next hour. Right now, let's get our news straight and, excuse me, directly from the community. Is this Jeff? Hello?
Yes, ma'am.
Oh, hey, how you doing?
I'm good.
Well, thank you so much. I know this is the busiest time of the year. Like to some people, it's Christmas, but to the Election Commission, it's on the eve of a big day or the big vote. And I certainly do appreciate your time. He's the administrator of elections for Davidson County, and I am so tickled to death to have you here before tomorrow's big day. Now, we got some questions, and that's why I wanted you to be on so that I can get the answers directly from the source. And in case the audience had any concerns or questions about the absentee ballots and, you know, different things, the mail-ins and this and that and the other, and the conditions at the polling places. So, Jeff, I'm going to let you take it away and give us an update.
Okay. Well, we're excited with the opportunity, Sharon, to be on your radio show this afternoon.
Thank you.
And to share with voters a couple of things to prepare them for tomorrow's election. We will be open the polls from 7 to 7. You need to go to your assigned precinct tomorrow if you're voting in person. Once you get there, you'll notice things look a little bit different. all of our folks will be wearing the PPE, and we will be practicing social distancing. So the lines may appear a little bit longer, but keep in mind that's because people are standing 6 feet apart. So that stretches things out a little bit. Mm-hmm. Because of social distancing, we won't be able to have as many people inside the precinct at any one time. So that's going to make things, you know, it may look a little bit different once you're inside the precinct, but everything has been designed to make it a safe experience for you. In fact, we've introduced a touchless voting system so that you won't be touching anything that any other voter has touched as you go through the process. As far as absentee ballots, at this point in time, if you've checked the state website and it doesn't look like your ballot has arrived yet, you still have an opportunity to maybe drop your ballot off at the post office down on Broadway tomorrow before they close. Go inside and make sure they know this is an absentee ballot that you're dropping off. That's where our post office box is. Or you do have an opportunity to vote in person. You will just have to vote a provisional ballot because we have to make sure that you're not voting twice under that scenario.
That's important.
That should take care of you and prepare you for Election Day tomorrow.
Okay, that's important. Because one of the questions or concerns was, you know, of course, that's news, good news to know you can take it to Broadway tomorrow to the post office there.
You want to take it to the Broadway, the post office on Broadway at the Frist Center. That's where our post office box is.
Okay. It's on the side of the building.
You'll have to go inside. Don't drop it outside, or, you know, it'll go through the regular mail process and will not arrive in time.
Right.
You need to take it inside and hand it to a person and tell them this is an absentee ballot.
Okay, so y'all got that? Get out of the car and go in and hand it. Now, and all you have to do is just say this is an absentee ballot, and then they know what to do, and the person is done. At that point,
they should know what to do with it at that point in time. Correct.
Okay, excellent. And you all have already had all those discussions on, you know, the questions or things that people may ask to help them with anything they're not familiar with there at the post office.
Well, you know, once you get inside the post office, you're pretty much following their policies and procedures. Mm-hmm. I think the key at this point is to let the post office employee know that you are essentially handing them an absentee ballot.
Gotcha. Okay. Now, what would be for, we had a lot of emphasis placed this year because of the pandemic on mail-ins, and all that stuff should have already been received, or as long as you all receive it by tomorrow, tonight, what's the status on that?
Well, we have to receive it before the polls close tomorrow in the mail.
So I'm assuming with your P.O. box that, you know, once it's picked up and for the day, that's it.
That's it. Okay. Now, we will make a late run to the post office tomorrow to pick up just before they're closing so that we get the last bit of mail that they will process for the day.
Oh, okay. Okay. Which is what time?
I believe they close like at 5:30, something like that.
Okay.
So they have to, you know, do their process and get it into our box.
Okay.
And then we will pick it up.
Excellent. Now,
I would double check on that. I'm not sure exactly what time they close.
Okay. All right. That sounds right. But we can find out. Now, also, one of the questions, Jeff, that I had from someone, they wanted to know if it's possible to, they filled it out, but they didn't get over to the post office in enough time. Can they take it to their polling place and drop it off there, or how no. should they handle that?
Well, they can't drop it off. What they you can just leave that at home and throw it away.
Okay.
Because once you get to your precinct, you will have to vote on a provisional ballot.
Mm. Okay. All right, but you have to ask for that and just don't say.
Well, when they look you up,
yeah.
they will be able to tell that
okay.
you got an absentee ballot out.
That takes care of
and
that.
And they will know what to do at that point in time.
Okay.
The poll officials will.
Excellent. That takes care of that. And for those who maybe didn't vote early or don't know yet what's on the ballot, could you please go over some of what's on there for Davidson County?
Sure. We have the U.S. Senate race. We have the congressional race for Davidson County. We have, depending on your location, some school board races. And then we also have a handful of metro offices that need to be looked over. You can see all of those if you'll go to our website. We have a sample ballot there, and you can get a good idea of, you know, who you want mm-hmm. to vote for.
Okay. Okay. Now, Jeff, when as soon as this is over, tomorrow at 7, how soon can those that want to register for the November general?
You know, they can come in on Friday and register.
Hmm.
They can even pick up a request for an absentee ballot
oh.
if they want to come in at the same time.
Okay, so starting Friday.
Right.
Now,
one of the things, Sharon, uh-huh. that your listeners need to know, when they go to the polls tomorrow,
uh-huh.
they will be asked which type of ballot that they want uh-huh. because this is a primary.
Uh-huh.
So you've got a Democratic ballot, a Republican ballot, or a general ballot. If you ask for the general ballot, you're only going to get the metro races. If you ask for the Republican or the Democratic ballot,
mm-hmm.
you get all of those races plus the general.
Mm.
That's been a little confusing
mm-hmm.
For people that have voted early and asked for an absentee ballot.
Mm-hmm. Mm. Now, let me ask, in addition to what you've already talked about, for disenfranchised folks that were in the system but they got their rights restored, what is the process for them now?
Okay, I missed that question. Give me that one more time.
No, I'm trying to understand because I think I read a story or something to the effect that if you were not, and maybe this was a state election commission issue more so than metro, but the folks that had their voting rights restored outside of this area or this state could not can they vote in Tennessee in Nashville or not?
It's not an automatic. They have to go through the process here in Tennessee to send in paperwork. So the best thing to do is call the state of Tennessee.
Uh-huh.
They're really the decision makers to find out exactly what a person that wants to get their rights restored, the process that they need to go through.
Okay. So now I guess once the essence of the story was they've already been restored, but it wouldn't be acceptable here in our area. Is it like that in Davidson County, or is that just another portion of the state or country?
That would be statewide as to how that's treated.
Okay.
But each case is individual, so you need to call the state and find out exactly what you need to do
mm-hmm.
To make the process easier for you.
Hmm. Okay. Now, how does that work between the State Election Commission and Metro? And are you all singing from the same sheet, or how does that relationship go?
Well, the state determines the process and the paperwork. Mm-hmm. We collect the paperwork from the individual, and we forward it to the state. The state makes the decision, lets us know, mm-hmm. and then we follow up from there with the voter.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. Because I just, you know, sometimes some of the stuff that comes out of there is not, it doesn't work for our region. That's why, even though the capital is here, it just seems like, you know, the opposite.
Right. They're making the decision for all 95 counties in the state.
Exactly.
So, you know, you need to first start with them, and they can tell you the process.
Yeah.
And then we will get involved once you start turning your paperwork in.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, also, I noticed, too, Jeff, that because I voted early, and I'm so glad I did, so I can come back and tell the listeners what the experience was like. First thing I said the next day after, because I voted on a Saturday, was it was sanitary. I mean, just like sanitary. And you all really did think of just about everything. I couldn't see anything in there that you election officials didn't think, you know, would be a way of transmission or anything of that nature. So you haven't had any reports or problems from any of the poll workers or anybody else as it relates to being, you know, having concerns or any issues pop up?
No. In fact, just to let your listeners know, we actually worked with the Metro Health Department.
Mm-hmm.
They came out and looked over a precinct when it was set up. We talked about all of our processes, and they gave us a thumbs up as to how we were doing it. Said they were impressed. So I think we're in good shape.
Well, it was really interesting when, you know, several things. But when when I was having to ask me for my driver's license and stuff, and she has tongs. I'm like, you know, I would not. That is so good. She had tongs,
right.
and never. I mean, I was like, man, this is all right, y'all. You know, the whole process. I felt, you know, that was one of the cleanest places I had been in a long time, because it was just everything. Every little step, you know, was just sanitary. And I did notice also that the poll workers at that particular location were very nice and very friendly, and also very willing and ready to help. Did you all have a good response this year in the pandemic with people wanting to be a poll worker?
You know, when you listen to other states and some of the issues that they've had,
mm-hmm.
Even though our folks, you do get paid for being a poll worker, I still think we fall under that phrase that we're the volunteer state.
Yeah.
Our poll officials really stepped up to the cause and helped us out.
Excellent. That's beautiful. Can you register online?
You can register to vote online as long as you have either a Tennessee driver's license, mm-hmm. or a Tennessee-issued ID, because the registration form is going out to the Department of Safety,
mm-hmm.
and checking that information.
Okay.
And then we're actually pulling the signature off of your driver's license,
okay.
and putting that on your voter registration form.
Oh, okay. And as we wrap, somebody just called in and wanted to know what time this post office on Broadway closed. So if you can just mention that segment one more quick time in about a minute to tell them,
okay.
what to do with their absentee ballots right at this moment or tomorrow.
Okay. Their best option would be to go to 901 Broadway at the U.S. Post Office there. I just looked it up, and it closes at 5 p.m.
Okay. Y'all got a few minutes, and hopefully you're that way or tomorrow. You know, you got the day tomorrow, see. So get up
well,
early.
They've got until tomorrow.
Yeah.
But don't wait too late, you know.
Yeah, so go on and get it early, folks.
That's right. The early bird gets the worm
That's right.
You know.
That's right. And this stuff has got to mean something to you. It truly does.
That's correct.
Jeff, I tell you what, I appreciate you more than there's words to say for your time this afternoon and answering all the questions and stuff and, you know, easing the thoughts and questions of the listening audience. Jeff Roberts is Administrator of Elections for the Metro Election Commission. And in closing, give everybody you guys' email and number and the whole shebang over there, Jeff.
If they would, they can email us here at, if you want an absentee ballot, you can send it to, well, you got me stumped, Sharon. I do this stuff off my head. I'll tell you what, if they would call this number, 615-862-8815.
Okay. Excellent.
And we will help you get all set up. And Sharon, let's do this again for November. We got a big election coming up in November.
Oh, most definitely. I'm going to get more of your time then, too, because I know I'm going to have 1,000 more questions. And Jeff,
okay, that sounds good.
Anything you need from us, you know, just don't hesitate to call. And thank you so much, okay?
All righty. See ya.
All right. Bye-bye. Thank you. That's Jeff Roberts. You know, that was your 411 on voting. Last minute, 11th hour. You know, don't put off tomorrow what you can do today. Oh, the old folks, that's what they said. And now some of y'all old. So tell yourself, let's get the traffic report and we'll be right back.
You're listening to What's the 411 with Sharon Kay.
What's the 411 with Sharon Kay is brought to you by Terry W. Jones, independent agent, State Farm Insurance. Life insurance is one of those subjects that makes people want to change the subject rather than admit they probably don't have enough. That's why State Farm agent Terry W. Jones focuses on how the benefits of life insurance actually live on by asking people to think in terms of life without having to sell the house, insurance, or life without having to give up college, insurance. Find out how the benefits of life insurance can live on for your family. Call State Farm agent Terry W. Jones in Nashville at 615-256-6066 or online at terrywjones.net and put the life back in life insurance.
Good afternoon. It's busy out here on the South Loop, the West Loop. The police are busy with a couple of accidents. 3500 block of Brick Church Pike that just happened. Finishing up the paperwork on that wreck at Lebanon Pike at Jacksonia Drive. Still looks good right now. 24 as you leave Nashville headed out towards Murfreesboro. Just watch your speed. This traffic report brought to you by Prince's Hot Chicken, 5814 Nolensville Pike. I'm Commander Chuck with your on-time traffic.
This message is sponsored by the Equity Alliance.
COVID-19 has ravaged black and brown communities. Our loved ones are disproportionately getting sick and dying at alarming rates. Thousands of workers are unemployed and small businesses are struggling to reopen.
Now, more than ever, we need our fair share of relief funding. I am Charlene Oliver.
And I am Tequila Johnson,
co-founders of the Equity Alliance.
Help us tell Nashville city leaders what you and your family need now to get through the pandemic. Go to OurFairShareNash.com today and take the survey.
Keep up with the guests and topics on What's the 411 with Sharon Kay. Friend us on Facebook and Twitter. Search under Sharon Kay's 411.
It's What's the 411. Here again, Sharon Kay.
All right, to Nashville. Sharon Kay is in the house. Mighty glad to be on Jazzy 88 WFSK Historic Fisk University. And I didn't get to ask you, how you doing?
Excellent. And yourself?
Man, I'm still standing. I ain't taking no mess. I still I rise. Yes, I do. You know, I'm not gonna get defeated on things. I'm just gonna, mm-hmm. you know, I'm gonna fight. fight for my life out here. I'm seeing more folk with the mask on. Praise the Lord.
Yeah, it's picking up.
Oh, God, Lord. I was very disturbed earlier today. You know, I had my eyeball all twisted and turned when I heard that story about Anthony Fauci getting those death threats. That really just got my nerves.
Yeah, that's ridiculous.
You know, I'm like, Lord, you know, folks are trying to save people's life, and you want to take his.
Yeah.
I mean, what kind of, is that not insane? Mm-hmm. He's trying to save you, and you want to get rid of him. I mean, how insane is that? Yes, I'm voting in November. As soon as bye.
I'm voting in October.
Okay.
Early voting.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. Oh, Lord. I mean, seriously, y'all. No, see. Ooh, leave that man alone. Leave him and his family alone. Leave him alone. He has worked his entire life to save lives. How dare you? It's awful. Well, we just have to, you know, go to the prayer closets on that one. Keep him surrounded with the bush of protection, because that man's got work to do to save our lives. We ain't got time for foolishness. So, having said that, I had to get that out. I feel so much better. Because when I saw that on the news, I was like, what? Let that out.
Yes. I'm voting in October. I'm early voting. Okay. I'm not waiting.
Like the day the door is open, you swinging them in.
Within the first 48 hours.
Yeah. So you're going to be second in line.
I'll have my PPE on. Whatever I need, I'll have it on.
And you'll be there.
That's right.
I'll be right with you. Now, I'm happy that I get this wonderful educator to give us the fresh on schools, and that's Dr. Adrian Battle. Hey, Dr. Battle, how are you?
I am doing great. How are you doing today?
Well, you know, I watch you, and I said to myself, you were sent from above to be able to be the one at this time, because you have such care. You know, for the children and the parents, and you know, just I appreciate you, okay?
Well, thank you so much. I greatly appreciate it.
And, you know, that's my, the mother in me. I'm like, she's so precious. And I'm sorry. Dr. Battle is the Metro Schools Director, and not even a year in yet, right?
Just a little bit. Of a year in, this school year, started this school year. Of course, I started out as the interim last April and became permanent in March of this school year, this past school year.
Okay, now having said that, it's been a lot on your plate, and there's no words to describe some of the issues that you've been hit with in your directorship. No other director has really had to deal with like this. And because you're having to work with the teams and the schools and the parents and the safety and, you know, the community and the whole package and create it daily almost. So I all the administrators and staff and everyone, we deeply appreciate all the work that you all are doing, bus drivers and everybody. Now, Dr. Battle, I want you to take a few moments to update everybody, because school online virtual started yesterday. So how's it going, and tell us what's going on.
Yes, of course. We have, over the last several months, been planning for what we knew would be a unique start to the 2020-21 school year. And to be quite honest, a few months back, we weren't quite sure what structure we would open in. So we planned around them all, face-to-face, virtual, and hybrid options for our families. Mm-hmm. And as we neared the start of the school year, we did make the decision to start the school year virtually, and our first day of school was on yesterday. Mm-hmm. And so with the virtual opening, we just wanted to care for a few things. We wanted to make sure that we had a standard curriculum for all of our students, so that no matter if we were in our face-to-face option in our traditional setting or virtual, that our students could remain engaged, to remain learning and accelerating their outcomes. Mm-hmm. We want to make sure we continue to be able to buy meals for our students, as well as the technology that they would need in the virtual environment, with devices and with hotspots. And so we've been trying to meet all of those needs, mm-hmm, to make sure that our students were prepared for the start of the school year.
Excellent. And do you feel like they, too, that you all made the right decision?
Oh, absolutely. The conversations that myself and the Board of Education have been having, mm-hmm, is about really prioritizing the safety, the health of our students, of our staff, mm-hmm, and of their families. And so given the current situation we're in with the pandemic, we wanted to make sure that that was prioritized. And at the same time, be able to provide a quality education to all of our students. Mm-hmm. And so with the structure we're in, we strongly believe we'll be able to accomplish both.
How difficult was it to be able to respond to a moving crisis? I mean, this thing has changed almost daily. And you all have had to reinvent yourself a bunch of times.
You're spot on. This has been an extremely challenging situation to be in. Things were and continue to be rapidly evolving. There's still so much we don't know. And as you've mentioned, so many moving targets. Our guidance has changed with regards to our guidelines and the information coming from the CDC and the health officials. And so we've just been standing ready and preparing ourselves to be able to pivot and shift as new information came in. And so I think what we're experiencing right now with schools starting to reopen is that many schools and school districts are facing so many different scenarios, mm-hmm, and being able to mitigate the spread of the virus.
Mm-hmm. 'Cause I did notice that in one of the stories from today's news that there are some districts who are open that are having some issues with cases. And that was to be expected, but I felt so much better when I saw Metro was not going to try anything of that nature. Too many students. We're talking tens of thousands of students in this district, right?
That's correct. Over 85,000 students in Metro Nashville Public Schools.
Yeah, that was going to be a lot. Now, is there a phase 1, 2, and 3 with this remote learning that you have, Dr. Battle, created?
You know, there is. Our plan right now is to continue to offer the virtual environment for any students, family, and as many staff members as possible, as long as the virus is active in our community. And so we've planned for the short term and the long term with regards to the virtual environment. I've shared with our families and with the community at large that we will definitely be virtual at least through Labor Day, at which time, prior to that date, we'll reassess where we are, looking at our metrics to see if it's safe to offer any hybrid options for our students. We know that the face-to-face traditional option is the best, one of the best ways to go. It definitely can't be replaced just simply with virtual, but we're going to continue to follow the data, follow the science, follow the guidance coming from our local health officials to make the most informed decisions as we move forward.
Definitely. Now, you said Labor Day, which is about a month away, and what trends or what will you be looking for in order to make the decision for some level of returning and additionally keeping the remote learning as another option? Is it, mm-hmm, does it have anything to do with the different phases the city of Nashville is going through?
Well, that certainly does play a part. And when we build out our Nashville plan, of which our schools are grounding themselves in to make a determination, all the schools and different types of schools are using the metrics that are also embedded in our city's reopening plan. So we are following the transmission rate. We're following the number of cases per day. We're also following the positive case rate as well. And so all of those metrics will continue to play a critical role in our ability to resume school in a traditional setting after Labor Day. And it's really you know, just up to us as a city, also as a country, mm-hmm. to do what's necessary to really prioritize education and getting our students back in our facilities.
Most definitely. Now, has there been any type of concern of, I know you all have taken care of a lot in terms of meals and addressing that issue. Can you talk to the audience about the food services that you have for them during this time?
Absolutely. We had an opportunity back in March from the tornadoes into the global pandemic to offer meals to all of our students all the way through the summer. And we're going to continue those efforts through this virtual environment space for the district. So we are operating all of our cafeteria sites in all of our school buildings. Mm-hmm. We opened all of them up yesterday. We prepared meals as if we would have prepared them for the traditional environment. Mm-hmm. We also ran our bus routes because we wanted to make sure that a student would not be without just simply because they could not get to their assigned school. And mm-hmm. so we ran almost all of our school bus routes yesterday. We'll continue to do so to make sure we're meeting the needs of all of our students. And so I ask our families, our students, make sure that you are accessing those meals. We're providing breakfast and lunch mm-hmm. To everyone. And in most cases, there are no costs to our students. So I encourage everyone to take advantage of those nutritious meals being made available, either through the grab-and-go option at their school or through bus routes. And we prefer that you go to your assigned school or your assigned bus route, but if you can't get there, we will serve you no matter which site or bus route you're able to get access to.
Oh, so just walk out there and be ready.
Absolutely.
Okay. Now, I'm assuming that with the services that you offer online, there's an interactive component. All my kids are way out of school. So I am blessed not to have to struggle with that. I know it's a lot for parents to digest as they also, you know, work their schedules and their jobs, and you know, it's an awful lot. What are some of the feedback that you're hearing? I know you all have social media and you mm-hmm. come into contact with the public and people know you. So what's some of what they're sharing with you?
Yes, so entering into the start of the school year, we did receive a lot of feedback from families that, you know, with the considerations of the virtual environment, making sure that we had enough support and flexibility within our structure, within our program, to meet the needs of the various types of family structures. So whether you have a parent at home, a guardian at home or not, if someone is working in the home or not, if you're going to mm-hmm. be working with a tutor, or if you may be in a learning pod. Mm-hmm. We wanted to make sure that we built our structure so that it was family friendly. We wanted to make sure that we were providing resources to families. Of course, it's the feedback that we did receive.
Yeah.
We also know that we had a need for devices and connectivity, so we've been trying to meet that need.
Hmm.
On the first day of school, to be expected in the virtual environment, we did have a short experience with some network issues.
Yeah.
And so we received that feedback, and we were able to resolve those fairly quick. And it seems today that most of the support has just simply been around getting access to our platform, resetting passwords, just really getting set up for success in the virtual
yeah.
environment.
Yeah.
And that's also something that we took in consideration with the start to our school year, making sure we could take the first few days
right.
To engage our students academically, meeting their socio-emotional learning needs, but also making sure we're setting families and students up for success. We don't want gotchas. We don't want to leave anybody behind. So we wanted to take our time and really connect and engage our mm-hmm. students and families back into the start of the school year. And so, you know, part of all those responses was based upon feedback we've heard from parents. And so mm-hmm. we'll continue to receive the good. We'll continue to receive the critical to make sure we're continuing to evolve and provide the best experience possible
yeah.
for our students and families, given that we've made history this year. This is the first time ever we've opened up our district in the virtual environment, and that's very similar to what's being experienced across the country.
Amen. That's beautiful. Dr. Battle, can you hang on 1 second? I need to take a short time out, okay?
Yes, ma'am.
All right. Now, that is Dr. Adrian Battle, the director of the Metro School System, where there's your children, a bunch of them. You're connected if you go to the parent meetings when they have them, or online and read everything. I'm hearing, and you're hearing some information, hopefully helpful to you on this school year. It just started yesterday. I know you're saying, oh my, we'll look up and it'll be Labor Day weekend shortly. Let's take a time out and we'll be right back.
You're listening to What's the 411 with Sharon Kay.
What's the 411 with Sharon Kay is brought to you by Terry W. Jones, independent agent, State Farm Insurance. Life insurance is one of those subjects that makes people want to change the subject rather than admit they probably don't have enough. That's why State Farm agent Terry W. Jones focuses on how the benefits of life insurance actually live on by asking people to think in terms of life without having to sell the house, insurance, or life without having to give up college, insurance. Find out how the benefits of life insurance can live on for your family. Call State Farm agent Terry W. Jones in Nashville at 615-256-6066 or online at terrywjones.net and put the life back in life insurance.
Good afternoon. It's quite busy out here on the South Loop, the West Loop, wrapping up that earlier wreck. 24 westbound is Shelby, 3500 block of Brick Church Pike. It looks like they're having a bit of a time moving that earlier wreck. Hopefully it'll be gone here in a few minutes. Traffic's on the increase now on 24 as you leave Nashville, headed out towards Rutherford County. This traffic report is brought to you by Bars Music City Soul Food, barsmusiccitysoulfood.com. I'm Commander Chuck. You're on time traffic.
This message is sponsored by the Equity Alliance.
COVID-19 has ravaged black and brown communities. Our loved ones are disproportionately getting sick and dying at alarming rates. Thousands of workers are unemployed and small businesses are struggling to reopen.
Now, more than ever, we need our fair share of relief funding. I am Charlene Oliver.
And I am Tequila Johnson, co-founders of the Equity Alliance. Help us tell Nashville city leaders what you and your family need now to get through the pandemic. Go to OurFairShareNash.com today and take the survey.
Keep up with the guests and topics on What's the 411 with Sharon Kay. Friend us on Facebook and Twitter. Search under Sharon Kay's 411.
It's What's the 411. Here again, Sharon Kay.
All right, to Nashville. Sharon Kay is in the house. Mighty glad to be on Jazzy 88 WFSK Historic Fisk University. And What's the 411 with Sharon Kay is brought to you by Terry W. Jones, independent agent, State Farm Insurance. We thank you so very much for supporting What's the 411 for 14 years. There are no words to describe how much I appreciate that company and that man. Now, Dr. Adrian Battle, Metro Schools Director, is with me right now to talk about the school's opening for this 2021 school year. And yesterday was the first day of virtual school and has given us some really good information and some positive feedback and things of that nature. And Dr. Battle, how are the, you had mentioned before the break about some issues with the technology, and everybody that has any type of gadget, we get it. We understand, you know, because our stuff does too. At the workplace, at the house, everywhere there's technology, something's going to not work or get stuck and caught and all that. When you got the equipment, I was very, very excited to see that when it happened. I think this summer that you all got the new computers for the students. What all did they get, and how did the distribution go?
Yes, that's a great question. So what you're likely referring to is over the summer, the mayor did invest in Metro Schools by utilizing $24 million of his CARES Act funding to purchase 90,000 laptops on behalf of the students in MMPS. And so, again, 90,000 laptops, over 17,000 hotspots for families to be able to connect in the virtual environment. And again, at that time, we weren't quite sure if we were going to be all virtual, but we knew that as a district, we should be moving towards being a one-on-one technology district so that we can always keep our students connected and engaged, regardless if they're in school or not. We're in the process of receiving those devices. And so while we were in the process of receiving those devices, we harvested every device we had in our district to go ahead and start meeting the needs of our students. And so to date, we've already deployed about 40,000 devices, laptops, to our students. We deployed about 10,000 last spring during the initial closure. We've deployed now about 30,000 devices over the last week via our school sites. And so we called out to all of our families. We pushed out as much information as we could and asked our families of their need. If they needed a device, we asked them to please come and get one from us. And the same thing for hotspot. We also utilized our transportation team. And again, shout out to all the administrators, educators, support staff, bus drivers, nutrition services team. They've just been amazing because what they did was they went to the schools and they coordinated with the schools to say, if you have students or families who cannot get to the schools, we're going to take the devices to those families. And so we not only waited for did a call out for our families to come to us to pick up those devices, we also went out in the community to make sure we were meeting that need. And we'll continue to meet that need as long as that need is in our community and in our school district. So we began deploying 40,000, over 40,000 devices, which is nearly half of our students, actually a little over half of our students. And then we've also deployed about 10,000 hotspots.
Excellent. Now, is there some kind of, and I'm just asking from, you know, those were good government dollars, and we know where they come from. Is there some kind of protection that, you know, we have on those machines and devices during this time, and how will they be accountable?
Yes, we have several different types of protections on devices. One just on the maintenance for those devices, which will be covered, and our families, the students, as they've been collecting those devices, have received that information of what to do if their device is damaged or lost for any reason. We're definitely encouraging our students to care for those devices. That's going to be critically important for us to continue to be a one-to-one technology district. But we also have touched every device to make sure that those devices have exactly what students need on those devices when they log into them. As a matter of fact, with our individualized student login information for our students, it's almost customized specifically for that student. And so with that, we have our filters and protections on there to help really guide students in the right directions into the right program and platform to use them for educational purposes.
Now, how does that work in one for the disabled, and how does that work for, I know this city has people speaking so many languages. I know you've addressed probably both of those in your plan. Tell us how.
Absolutely. So for our students with exceptionalities, our exceptional education students, we are also providing them with the same resources, but we're taking their individualized education plans and we're transferring them over to what we call a CLIP, and that's their continuous learning individual plan, which we're going to be using in the virtual environment. Their learning plans, those CLIPs, are how we're transferring what we would have been doing in the traditional environment to the virtual environment. So it doesn't replace their current IEP, but we're working closely with the parents, with the students, with the teachers to make sure that we're able to provide the necessary supports and resources in the virtual environment. Mm-hmm. And very similar to that, with our English language learners, we're doing the same things. We're making sure that we're pairing them with the right resources, mm-hmm. With the right tools, both in their live lessons with their teachers, but also with both populations and accommodations, modifications in our curriculum so that they can truly have genuine grade-level access like all other students.
Okay. Now, I just want to know this because I know truancy has always been an issue with schools. How do you handle that in the virtual environment?
We have shared with our students and our families via a parent playbook for the virtual environment what our attendance policies will look like. And to be quite honest, a lot of the policies, procedures, and supports that we're going to be providing are very similar to the traditional environment. Mm-hmm. Our students are required to log in and engage in active learning every single day. Mm. So in order for them to be counted present, they must log in to our Schoology platform mm-hmm. every day before 11:59 p.m., and they must actively participate within the platform. And again, for our K-12 students, we're using Schoology. For our pre-K students, we're using Flipgrid, so they have access all day. They mm-hmm. must log in again before 11:59 and actively participate, which mm-hmm. means completing assignments, assessments in our platform, interacting with their teacher, participating in live lessons with their classes, or participating in discussion boards. So mm-hmm. it doesn't mean you have to do all of them, but you must actively participate in one of those ways every single day.
Okay. Now, is that the same for, and I don't know if this is a function of the Metro school system or the schools like Bass, where they go because they were in trouble. And uh-huh. Is that under Metro schools?
Yes, ma'am. Our alternative learning centers yes. Fall within the same structure. So we have common expectations for all of our students, regardless of the school that they attend or the type of school mm-hmm. that they attend.
Okay. So that would go for the magnets and everything, right?
That's correct.
Okay. Now, how will, let's talk past Labor Day, and let's say things are looking good for a minute. What does going back into the classroom look like?
You know, it does look a bit different. You know, the CDC guidelines are pretty strict and, to be quite frank, not public school friendly. Mm-hmm. Given that there are social distancing guidelines with students, it's recommended that students are 6 feet apart. Mm-hmm. It's also recommended that students wear a mask or there's some other protective measure put in place with sneeze guards or mm-hmm. face shields for students. Of course, we would always continue to encourage students to wash their hands mm-hmm. frequently. Mm-hmm. There's also standards around cleaning and disinfecting, which we're all prepared for. The challenge will be, depending on the number of students who would opt into the traditional experience, would be the 6 feet of distance between every student, because we serve a large population mm-hmm. Of schools. And so we've worked with our school teams on various ways to set up their classrooms to help mitigate the spread mm-hmm. Of the virus. But it would look much different. We would not convene large groups of students. Mm-hmm. So when it comes to gatherings and special programs and cafeteria time and maybe even how they transition in the hallway, mm-hmm. All of those interactions would look completely different mm-hmm. because we would need to make sure that we're able to maintain proper social distancing for mm-hmm. All of our students and for our staff.
So the average classroom would only have, what, 7 or 8 people in it?
So it's possible. What we have to prepare for is the number of students who are enrolled in the course. Mm-hmm. So those classes, you could have small classes or you can have larger classes for students. And so the CDC guidelines and our Nashville plan allows for some flexibility, some options mm-hmm. around how you can create social distancing within a classroom, even with a larger number of students.
Mm-hmm. Well, I hope that by that time they would have gotten used to a few things. Because, you know, the temperature checks and, you know, staying apart and, you know, stay in your area and, you know, wash your hands. That stuff, hopefully after all these months and this time, that's kind of ingrained, hopefully. And I guess it depends on how they were raised. Now, what about the buses, the school buses? They've already, I'm sure, been sanitized to the maximum. How would the buses be adjusted for seating on the other side?
Yes, for our school buses, some of the major adjustments will be a requirement for students. Currently, the requirement would be for students to wear a mask on the buses, and our bus drivers would also be provided PPE for them to wear, but we would also practice good disinfecting and cleaning after each route.
Okay.
It is likely, depending on the number of students who will be transporting to and from school, that we cannot reduce the number of students on the bus, but there are other measures that we would have in place to help mitigate the spread.
Okay.
So we would make sure that we limited the number of students on a seat, but masks would definitely be required under this circumstance, and we would also practice good disinfecting and cleaning routines.
Okay, excellent. It does take a minute to not want to hug, you know. It is tough when we return back to campus, you know, and we do our temperature check every day here to be on the campus. And you know, you see folks and you hadn't seen them in a long time, you just want to hug them, you know.
That's right.
But you know you can't do it now, you know. All I can do is just look at you, and all you can do is look at me. I know it is really, you know, something. Well, I appreciate. Is there anything that I didn't ask you that needs to be emphasized, Dr. Battle?
You know, the only thing I will share to those listening is if there is a question that you have, a concern you have, please reach out to us. Feel free to reach out to your teacher, your school principal, or our Family Information Center. We're here to help and support in any way we can, whether that be a question about passwords or tech issues. Please reach out to us. And don't forget to bookmark and go to our website. We have a lot of frequently asked questions already answered on our website and our playbook. And that can be found at mnps.org/backtoschool.
Excellent. Thank you so much. And any concerns or anything, I see your Facebook page. You all have, the parents have been saying different things and letting you know, and you all are responding rapidly to the problem. So you're addressing them as they come in. And great job. And Dr. Battle, I certainly do totally appreciate your time and all the efforts of all of our people connected to the system. Thank y'all for everything that you do for these children. Thank you. And you have a good rest of the day, okay?
You do the same. Thank you.
Bye-bye. All of y'all that work in the system, everybody, janitors and bus drivers and secretaries.
Lunch
and
ladies.
Teachers. Oh, definitely the lunch ladies, Lord. And the teacher's assistants and the part-time teachers.
Bus drivers.
Oh, yes, most definitely.
Y'all sit down back there.
Yeah, and all the people that are patient, because that's what it's going to take if they do get to, you know, decide to go back. Exactly what it's going to take. And I know they're going to be careful about that decision, because that's precious cargo. Ain't that right, Mom and Daddy? Ain't that right? Yes. All right, let's go up to the top of the hour, get the news, and come back. Got more. I ain't playing. Y'all know how I roll. Let's take the time out, and we'll be right back.
You're listening to What's the 411 with Sharon Kay?